I'm Marco Werman, and you're with The World. We're a co-production of the BBC World Service, PRI, and WGBH here in Boston. Morning, noon, and night, it seems that President-elect Donald Trump is always on Twitter, always ready to give his opinion or his advice. In January, Trump becomes America's commander-in-chief, but also its top diplomat, and he'll assume control of the president's official Twitter account, at POTUS. So how will diplomacy fare? Nicholas Burns is a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. I asked if he thinks that once Trump assumes office, he will keep tweeting.
He obviously believes in the power of Twitter because he said publicly it's his chance to reach 20, 25 million people and not have to do that through you guys in the media. And so I think he feels it's an advantage for him. It's a way to get his message out. I would expect a President Trump to continue to be on Twitter.
So you're a former diplomat, Nick Burns. You had to work with all sorts of people. What do you think is the best way to deal with somebody like Donald Trump on a diplomatic level, online, offline, or in person?
Well, I think to obviously listen carefully to him. I think he's going to have to be disciplined and restrained. Diplomacy is not about saying nice things to people. Diplomacy is about advancing a country's interests. And sometimes that means standing up to that country. So we had this extraordinary example just the other day of President-elect Trump calling the Prime Minister of Pakistan. And the Pakistanis released the transcript of the call. And it was Donald Trump saying all sorts of very flattering things to the Pakistani Prime Minister when, in fact, we have a very difficult relationship. Pakistan's not been a good friend to the United States. It's been harboring terrorist groups. Trump on the campaign trail was exceedingly critical, but he failed to deliver that message. And so I think he's going to have to adjust his style. He's going to have to learn how to deliver a tough message. One would not have thought that would be a problem for Donald Trump. But now that he's president-elect, he seems in a way to think that diplomacy is just saying nice things. It's not. It's delivering tough messages. It's getting our way in the world.
You know, one of the things that we kept hearing from the campaign trail is people like the way Trump speaks, casually, like one of them. I'm just wondering, are there certain tactics that Trump has used that you find refreshing, like his bluntness, or things that you feel like maybe you've even learned from him that you may incorporate in the classes you teach?
Well, I did not support Donald Trump during the campaign. I supported Hillary Clinton. But you have to respect and admire his ability to communicate with people. He's able to distill complex subjects into very small sound bites. His entire campaign was understood by every single potential voter, Democrat, Republican, or Independent. Make America great again. Four words. And I do think he has a talent for that. Now, as president, that could be a great advantage to Donald Trump and for the United States. He could reach, for instance, beyond the authoritarian governments of Russia and China, perhaps to reach the people of those countries through Twitter, through Facebook. And that might be a real advantage for the United States in our foreign policy and in what we're trying to do, for instance, in promoting human rights, in appealing to these authoritarian governments to give a greater measure of freedom to their populations. Ronald Reagan had this gift. John F. Kennedy had this gift. Some of our very successful presidents have been great communicators. I think Trump has that promise and capacity. And if I were Donald Trump or his advisors, I certainly want to make that a real priority for his first months in office.
So, Harvard Professor Burns, what's the one piece of diplomatic advice you would have for Trump as he prepares to take office?
I think Donald Trump needs to realize that the greatest power differential that gives the American people an advantage overseas are our alliances, our NATO alliance in Europe, our alliance militarily with Japan and South Korea. And Donald Trump spent the entire campaign denigrating these allies, suggesting that these alliances were obsolete and perhaps even irrelevant. That would be a grave mistake, because what we have in the world are countries willing to defend us, willing to rally around us. So I think he needs to build up these alliances with Prime Minister Abe and the new South Korean president in the future, and certainly with Chancellor Angela Merkel and Prime Minister Theresa May in Europe. And I hope that Donald Trump will not put his weight behind the right-wing populists who are seeking to undermine democratic regimes in Europe. That's why his public support for Nigel Farage, who led the British campaign to leave the European Union, was such a grave mistake of judgment.
Nicholas Burns is a former U.S. ambassador to NATO. He's now a professor at Harvard. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Marco.
One more little note here on the president-elect's online habits. Turns out more than a few people have no idea what Trump's been saying on Twitter. That's because they've been blocked from even seeing his tweets, like 16-year-old Antonio Del Otero. He's a junior at Huron High School in Detroit, Michigan. And a couple of months ago, he tweeted something kind of mean to Trump.
I deleted the tweet now because the hate I got from it from all his supporters was just a little annoying. But it was basically I called him a reject Cheeto.
A reject Cheeto. That tweet got a lot of likes. And then an hour later, when Antonio tried to take a look at Donald Trump's Twitter profile, he realized he was blocked.
I didn't believe it at first at all. I was kind of in shock. I was at school when I saw that, and I just kind of showed everyone. We all laughed about it, but I didn't know what to think of it. I didn't believe it.
Antonio says he doubts that he will also be blocked from the POTUS account, but he doesn't intend to follow Trump on Twitter again anyway. Still, this episode inspired Antonio, who is a member of the student council, to consider a new career path.
I've always wanted to be a doctor, but over this past year, with this election, I've seen how ugly and messy politics are. And when I'm older, if I could try and change that and be some sort of good leader or good politician, I'd like to do that.
His name is Antonio Del Otero. Remember it.